She's a radical left lunatic.
Riding shotgun.
The freedom of a woman to make decisions about her own body.
On the election trail to November.
Inflation is eating you alive.
The Election Information Station. News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
Well, good morning. Hour number three of our get-together begins. It is 8:07, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Happy Monday. Let's make it great. It's the Bob Rose Show. Appreciate you being here. Top stories. DNC kicks off in Chicago. Let's jump right to it. Our special guest, Nanette Holt from Epoch Times. We've got the big convention. I guess there's a lot of questions there. Let's start with, is that going to be a safe place to be?
Well, you know, we have reporters on the ground there already. And thank you for having me. It's always such a pleasure to see you all. Good wishes for and prayers for Greg. But yeah, we have reporters there. And I had a chat with one of them yesterday. And I said, hey, you know, one word for you, Kevlar. And he was concerned. You know, he was concerned because it used to be that a convention like this would bring an economic benefit to a community. Right now, I think they're just hoping to survive it. The businesses are boarding up and, you know, there are protesters in the street. It's already a violent city, out of control murders every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they like to call gun violence. It's actually violence by people. But yeah, I think it's a concern. What's going to happen? We do not know.
Well, and again, the bad guys will hide, infiltrate within those who, you know, they just want to hold signs and get attention for their cause. And that's an American thing. We fully allow that as long as it's peaceful protest. But you'll get folks that are going to take advantage of that situation, pose as protesters, and then raise hell, for lack of a better term. And these people, some of them, like to burn stuff down.
Well, that is really a concern, because a lot of these people, you know, openly say they support communism. The whole Marxist belief is burn it down, start from scratch. We actually hear, you know, one of our candidates for president, Vice President Kamala Harris, has mentioned, you know, burning it down, metaphorically, of course, but you know, she doesn't say she is against that kind of thinking. You know, just she has mentioned, I think, Border Patrol. Maybe we take it all the way to the ground and rebuild it back up. I mean, that is a Marxist principle.
Yeah, so. and to allow any, you know, type of political movement based on, you know, terrorist activities, you can never say okay to that. Otherwise, it never ends. I've got good news, though. As much as everything around Chicago could theoretically burn, there's only a couple things that are going to burn inside the convention. But, you know, they could be considered important, like, I don't know, one of them could be, say, the Bill of Rights, and the other one, the American flag.
Well, yeah.
Other than that.
Well, you know, I think when I talk to people, what they're concerned about is it seems to be we're at a crossroads able to make a choice about the future of this country. Do we want to choose socialism? And let's be honest about this. I mean, the policies that the vice president is putting forward, these are socialist policies that have failed. That's just, you know, something that we should all be able to agree upon. The history, it's right there in front of us. Or do we want to continue with capitalism? It's really a very clear choice at this point.
Well, and here's the thing is when they started referring, and this happened, you know, back even when Trump was the president, they tried to call him an authoritarian. And I remember some of the first times I saw some of my lefty friends referring to him in that way, I thought to myself, well, that's bizarre, because he's anything but authoritarian. He's protecting our rights and freedoms, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, clearly. And so now I know what the authoritarian thing is. That's part of the Democrats calling you what they are. So that you can unveil this socialism without being called out on it. But it's authoritarian, like price controls.
Yeah, that's never worked. Actually, as you were speaking, I was thinking we just had the Olympics, and over the past 4 years or so, really gaslighting should be considered the next Olympic sport, because, you know, they act like we can't remember, you know, the truth, and really the truth is there for us to think about and make these comparisons. But, I mean, even the vice president has said, I will snatch the patents from drug companies that don't fix prices the way I want them to if they've taken any money, federal money, for research and development. I mean, think about that as a business owner. Having the government come in and snatch your patent or fix your prices. Your prices have gone up. Now the government's telling you you have to pay more and you have to make your prices less. I mean, businesses will close, and I've talked to some who say that.
But you're educated and you know history. The average person says, Yeah, they're making too much money. So, yeah, lock those prices down. They start to think that way. So I try to turn that around and say, now, hold on. That's the big example, the rich, evil corporation. I go, what about your aunt that lived in her house for 35 years, has paid for it. Now she wants to downsize to a smaller home. You know what? People are having trouble buying homes, so we're going to control the price she can sell her house at. All the sacrifice, all the equity, are basically her savings for her life. The government could step in if they apply rules the same way they want to corporations and say, no, you can't sell a house. That's too much. You have to sell it for much less.
Well, yeah, and that's a heartbreaking scenario that you bring up. I hadn't thought of that one. I have thought about it from the perspective of my husband owns a business. Our costs have gone way up. And, you know, if the government comes in and says, this is going to be your price now, he said, we'll have to shut it down. We can't. Our margin is already so slim, we're not bringing home money for the family. We're just covering the costs and the taxes at this
point. Yeah, see, there's a lot of people, unless they've done it before, don't really have an understanding of the kind of sacrifice it takes for a business to be successful and profitable. And that margins today on so many businesses are slim. They're so narrow. But yet they look and they go, well, you're doing pretty good. Look at that big house. Look at those nice cars. It's like, well, it took a lot of sacrifice, and every day is a headache to try to make payroll, stay in business, keep above water. But they, you know, younger people are taught, no, if the people that have made it, if they've had a handout, a free ride, you know, they've had rich parents, they've had this, they've had that. They're basically saying, you can't have the American dream, and anybody who does have it, they cheated to get there.
Well, yeah, and, you know, even, I mean, the science, people say follow the science. Well, there was an economist by the name of Milton Friedman, American economist, statistician. He won the 1976 Nobel Prize for economics. His research on consumption analysis, monetary history, theory and complexity of stabilization policy. That's what we're talking about, you know, stabilizing prices. He said that device of price fixing is something that these are his words, a device that governments have repeatedly resorted to try to cover up the effects of their own policies. It is offered as a cure for inflation. It is not a cure for inflation. It has never been a cure for inflation. It is an alleged cure that is far worse than the disease.
And socialists and commies of the time, of Friedman's time, would want to debate him. And he began to debate them, and whoever they put up couldn't even hold a candle to him. So eventually they just gave up. Yeah.
Yeah, so the choice is clear. Capitalism versus socialism.
Hey, you want to stick around for a little bit, talk about turtles?
Oh, I love to talk about turtles.
All right. Hang on. Nanette Holt's going to stick around with us from Epic Times. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
Dana Lash.
People aren't up to snuff to do Sun Tzu, then get out of the game.
Now, 10 p.m. night.
Because we're playing to win right now. Fight over all this stuff after we've won. It is too close to be doing it now.
On 97.3 The Sky.
Good morning. Happy Monday. We're here to make it great. It's the Bob Rose Show. Thanks for tuning in. It's 8:20 time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers. Well, the answer is always yes. Nanette Holt is with us from Epic Times. And, you know, she gives us a lot of political insights and, you know, relationships with reporters all over the place. We've been talking about the Democrat National Convention coming to Chicago opening day and unfortunately, some of the bad stuff that may result around it. Hopefully just peaceful protests, but it may be more than that. But we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about sea turtles.
Sea turtles. Who doesn't love a baby sea turtle?
They are just absolutely beautiful. I mean, they are just gorgeous.
And seven species around the world, five of them come to the beaches of Florida to nest. And, you know, you would think with the hurricanes that we've been having a more active and more intense season predicted this year, which stretches through November you would think, boy, the sea turtles are probably in trouble. But the good news is that the sea turtles are thriving. I went on a walk at just before daybreak, 4-mile walk that they do on coastlines all over Florida. There are turtle patrols. They're looking for the new nests. They're monitoring. Is everything cool? And what I learned on that walk is that we had 2 record years of nesting activity on Florida's beaches despite these hurricanes. And the volunteers work very, very hard to make sure that they continue to do well. So this year is actually a bit down, but no one is concerned because sea turtle nesting is cyclical. So the females will nest, you know, 1 year and then take 2 or 3 years off. And so they're a little down, but overall way up. And the down is not, you know, attributed to any kind of problem. It's just natural. But it's really cool. You know, we're rebuilding a lot of our dunes right now in these big multi-million dollar projects. And the turtles don't know this. So sometimes they come up and they make a nest right where the heavy equipment's going to be working. And these turtle patrols recognize the nest. They're out there before anyone's walking around. And they can relocate the nest to a safe area, which is trickier than it sounds, because the eggs have to be taken from the nest, kept in a certain position, and then repositioned in a new nest in the exact same orientation. So it's pretty fascinating.
Now, why does it have to be that way? Is it for the health of the little baby turtle in the egg, or is it because the mom knows something's different? Or,
well, that's a really good question. The moms lay their eggs. It takes a couple hours, and then they leave. They never return. There's no maternal interaction at all. But that what they've found through this research that they do is that the embryo attaches immediately to the inside of the egg, and if you change the orientation, the hatchling won't be able to leave the nest.
Mm.
So they do their best to do what mother sea turtles do. They admit they don't know exactly how they do it. So I was part of a special evaluation of a nest that actually found trapped babies at the bottom, released them, and it was a beautiful thing.
Wow. Isn't it interesting how nature can be so extremely complicated?
Super precise.
And we don't always still have the answers, things we've studied for a very long time. We're like, we're not exactly sure how or why that happens, but we know it happens.
Yeah, and I was really struck by the diversity of the turtles. So we get a lot of loggerheads. That's 95% of the nests that we see in Florida. But we do get some leatherbacks. I had no idea how big they were, but the gentleman that leads these turtle patrols in the Ponte Vedra area, he can lie down on the sand between the two flipper tracks. And he's a 6'3" guy, and the turtle tracks are that spread apart from one turtle that he can be between them. I found that fascinating that they're that big.
But, wow.
Yeah.
That is big. And now you're into, well, you've always been into horses, but I heard your kids did something recently that was like, you did what?
Yeah, well, we went to Chincoteague, to the island made famous by Marguerite Henry. Her book, Misty of Chincoteague, was made into a hit film. You can still watch it for free on YouTube. Very wholesome film. I recommend it for any family. About these wild ponies that are rounded up by the volunteer fire department every year. They swim them over to their community. They sort out the ones they're going to keep. Those go back to the wild. And they sell the ones that they don't need to keep for genetics. And my oldest daughter is a journalist as well, and she had kind of finished everything she was doing for TV, and it was packed up. And my younger daughter was there. She was doing some photographs for my magazine package. And I was interviewing someone, and I turned around, and their faces were kind of white, and they were attending the auction and said, "Mom, we just bought one." So now I have a wild Chincoteague baby horse in our stable. In Alachua, yes.
And your kids are familiar with horses, so they know they eat more than even a big dog.
Well, he's a little guy, and they're training him, and it's a beautiful thing. And they want to share him with the community when he's more tame to inspire literacy. So I thought it was a worthy goal.
Wow.
They want kids to read Misty of Chincoteague, and then they will visit a school or a library with him to let them pet a real Chincoteague pony.
We've got an island up here in, Cumberland Island.
Cumberland has wild horses, yes.
Yeah, now I don't ever remember them processing or dealing with them.
I think that's a hands-off process there.
Oh, okay. All right. So, but this historically, this has been going on for how long?
100 years will be next July. Will
really?
Be 100 years of the Roundup, which actually funds the volunteer fire department. So the people of this small community of 3,000, they pay no fire tax because there are fire trucks and ambulances, and the services are paid for by the pony auction.
And this is like one of the outer islands off the coast of what? Virginia,
Virginia, Carolina? And it's absolutely beautiful. The people live on Chincoteague. The ponies are a little closer to the Atlantic. They're right on the Atlantic Ocean on Assateague. It's pronounced Assateague and Chincoteague. And it's just a beautiful thing. I highly recommend that as a trip for a family or
so you have
anyone.
A life other than just, you know, reporting on political stuff and working with the Epic
it?
Times. you're allowed to have another life. So, all right. So what do you think? What's your prediction at the DNC? I guess did we get into policies just real quick? How much will they be able to say they're changing their policies and get away with it, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, I think what we're going to see, and this is just a guess, but I think we're going to see more of the celebrities coming out and saying how much we need Kamala Harris as president. I think it's going to be light on policy. The policies that she's kind of hinted about or actually explained in her way have not been well received, even by media that you would consider to be friendly media. CNN
right.
has taken her apart a little bit on the price fixing. She called it price gauging. We took that to mean price gouging to fight, she says, corporate greed. She's talked about Medicare for all. She's talked about capping the price of prescription drugs by snatching patents if companies don't obey the prices that are set, canceling medical debt, canceling student debt, giving first-time home buyers $25,000. And you know who pays for that, of course.
You and me.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Well, there's some interesting stuff. I like where they try to make the corporations the bad guys and talk about the corporate greed. And it's like, well, you know, if I don't like a corporation, I just will try not to deal with them. And usually there's some competitor, so you can get around it. But if I don't like the way the government treats me and I feel like they're gouging me, I can't really opt out, can I?
I don't think you can opt out. Although people are talking about it, and who wants a civil war? But, you know,
right.
people are starting to talk about that. I have a great film that I was able to preview called Beneath Sheep's Clothing. It really talks about the history of communism and what's happening in our country that people don't seem to be noticing. And I highly recommend getting your hands on it. Someone I've known for quite a long time, Michael O'Fallon, talks about that in the film, as do a lot of others, James Lindsay, and, you know, many others.
Where can we find that? Beneath Sheep's Clothes.
Go Google it. I don't think they've done the formal release, but there are ways to buy.
Oh, so it's new.
It's brand new. And
okay.
I believe you can find it, Google it, Beneath Sheep's Clothing. You can click on it and watch it. It's absolutely spine chilling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important. And
yes.
My comment to one of the folks in the film was, I feel like anyone voting. And early voting starts very soon.
Yes, it does.
Anyone voting needs to watch it before voting, because we need to make a choice between capitalism, which sorts out the prices, or communism.
Right on. Nanette Holt, Epic Times, always a pleasure. We look forward to having you in again as we get closer to November.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Take care of the turtles and the ponies.
Yes, sir.
All right. We've got plenty more to talk about coming up on News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
The clock
in this time
is ticking down.
This is the time
to November.
The choice of this election could not be more stark.
We have some hard work ahead of us.
Every minute the news is changing.
You have a radical left freak.
We trust women to know what is in their best interest.
And history will be made.
You have a president who will fight.
The Sky is the station for election 2024.
It's going to be a battle.
Now is the time.
News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
Good morning. Welcome. Happy Monday. We're going to make it great. It is 8:35, and you're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. And we know you're busy. We try to make it easy. You can check out the Bob Rose Show podcast and have every minute, every issue on demand, one place, now on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcast, just hit subscribe. So pro-Palestinian protesters clashed with law enforcement, threw around some smoke bombs, and this was at a Kamala Harris rally. Now, here's the problem. That was, I wouldn't say that it got completely out of control. It didn't. But it showed that these things clearly can. And they're expected, are you ready for this? 100,000 anti-Israel protesters, they believe, are headed to the Democrat National Convention in Chicago, targeting who they call Killer Kamala. That's their nickname, not mine. Roughly 100,000 far-left Israel-hating protesters are going to be descending on Chicago. Now, maybe that's over the course of a week. I don't know, but that's quite a crowd to try to handle. I mean, you think about, where the Bears play football, Soldier Field. I mean, I don't even think they hold 100,000. That's a lot of people. At least 7 large rallies and marches are set to take place in the Windy City, while McCormick Place Convention Center hosts the DNC. Other rallies are expected, even though their organizers have not scored necessary city permits. So this is what they expect based on permits that the city has given out. And, yeah, you think there'll be a few that don't bother to go through the process? And then a bunch of ne'er-do-wells that just want to try to slip in, especially when they get to wear masks? Yeah. The causes that some of the protests are going to represent really run the gamut of radical leftists, backing Hamas terrorists, even ending U.S. aid to Israel. The convention will go through Thursday, but the protesters started yesterday. They had a march toward Grant Park that was organized by the pro-abortion gay rights organization Bodies Outside of Unjust Laws. All right. Well, they said another group said our target is the Democratic Party and the leadership of the party, and Killer Kamala is one of them. That's not a good recipe. It's not a good recipe of what's going on in Chicago. And it is also interesting during my lifetime what I've seen to be a much greater rise of anti-Semitism than I've ever seen or was aware of before. It's, it's frightening on a lot of different levels. Hey, interesting piece about a city in Georgia. And it's really about this guy, Jeff Gray, who is a veteran. And he goes to different cities and he sits out with a sign that says, God bless the veterans. And he waits to see if police are going to stop him. And in this latest case, the city, Alpharetta in Georgia, has agreed to pay this guy $55,000 to settle a lawsuit. More than 2 years after police arrested this guy for allegedly panhandling. His name is Jeff Gray. He's an Army veteran, self-described First Amendment auditor. Frequently travels around the Southeast, stands on public property, and holds a sign saying, God bless the homeless vets. He does this to test officials' reactions and frequently captures video of police who accuse him of illegal protesting or panhandling. Yeah, it's a setup. I don't know whether to say this guy is like a hero or a zero. I mean, he's benefiting from it monetarily, but he is taking his time, I guess, to protect the First Amendment. I mean, really, honestly, as I perused the article, it was difficult to really see clearly whether this guy is a good guy or not. But here's the problem. Well, there's a good guy or not. Sometimes police, law enforcement, don't always understand some of the laws. And there needs to be training that takes place. And the reason it resonates with somebody like me is because of various gun laws. that not all law enforcement are fully aware of. And so that's where I become concerned. And so we have to know the law. We have to know what our rights are. But law enforcement needs to know those things as well. So apparently police handcuffed and detained Jeff Gray in Alpharetta, Georgia, after people complained he was panhandling outside City Hall. He said he wasn't asking for money. He was simply holding that sign. And by the way, panhandling is protected, at least under the First Amendment, with some exceptions. In January of 2022, Gray's camera was rolling while he held his sign outside Alpharetta City Hall and called out, "God bless the homeless vets," to people who passed by. Soon a police lieutenant approached him and said two people had reported Gray for panhandling. Said, "I'm not panhandling." And he can be heard saying that. Well, they handcuffed him and they took his camera and turned it off. And he asked them not to turn it off. And they said, "Oh, no, we're saving the battery for you." Wow. But he also had audio that was recorded anyway on his Apple Watch. Another officer joined in the detention and interrogated and berated Gray before eventually releasing him without charges, according to the lawsuit. But when he tried to resume his sign holding, police again asked him to leave, and he complied. With the help of a nonprofit foundation for individual rights and expression, Gray sued the city of Alpharetta. In 2023, the city settled last month, agreeing to change its policies and pay $55,000. Most of that will go to Gray. Some will go to his lawyers. Alpharetta officers tried to run Gray out of town because they thought holding a sign was disorderly conduct. That, according to that Foundation for Individual Rights, FIRE, attorney Adam Steinbaugh said in a statement, "They'll think twice next time. The city must also provide 2 hours of First Amendment training to each officer per year. The training will mostly focus on freedom of speech and its relationship with assembly rights, the right to record police activity, the use of profanity toward officers, and refusals to answer officers' questions." Alpharetta officials and FIRE's attorney did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Again, you get where I'm coming from on this? Is this guy, is he really looking out to protect our rights? And if so, that's a good thing. Or is he a little bit more of an opportunist, rabble-rouser, who's also lining his pockets at the same time? Well, based on what we know, it's a tough call to make from here in the cheap seats. It's 8:44 on the Bob Rose Show. Say a little prayer. Good morning. Welcome. Happy Monday. We're going to make it great. It is 8:35, and you're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. And we know you're busy. We try to make it easy. You can check out the Bob Rose Show podcast and have every minute, every issue on demand, one place. Now on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcast, just hit subscribe. So pro-Palestinian protesters clashed with law enforcement, threw around some smoke bombs, and this was at a Kamala Harris rally. Now, here's the problem. I wouldn't say that it got completely out of control. It didn't. But it showed that these things clearly can, and they're expected. Are you ready for this? 100,000 anti-Israel protesters, they believe, are headed to the Democrat National Convention in Chicago, targeting who they call Killer Kamala. That's their nickname, not mine. Roughly 100,000 far-left Israel-hating protesters are going to be descending on Chicago. Now, maybe that's over the course of a week. I don't know, but that's quite a crowd to try to handle. I mean, you think about, you know, where the Bears play football, Soldier Field. I mean, I don't even think they hold 100,000. That's a lot of people. At least 7 large rallies and marches are set to take place in the Windy City, while McCormick Place Convention Center hosts the DNC. Other rallies are expected, even though their organizers have not scored necessary city permits. So this is what they expect based on permits that the city has given out. And, yeah, you think there'll be a few that don't go, don't bother to go through the process? And then a bunch of ne'er-do-wells that just want to try to slip in, especially when they get to wear masks. Yeah. The causes that some of the protests are going to represent really run the gamut of radical leftists, backing Hamas terrorists, even ending U.S. aid to Israel. The convention will go through Thursday, but the protesters started yesterday. They had a march toward Grant Park that was organized by the pro-abortion gay rights organization Bodies Outside of Unjust Laws. All right. Well, they said another group said our target is the Democratic Party and the leadership of the party, and Killer Kamala is one of them. That's not a good recipe. It's not a good recipe of what's going on in Chicago. And it is also interesting during my lifetime what I've seen to be a much greater rise of anti-Semitism than I've ever seen or was aware of before. It's, I don't know, it's frightening on a lot of different levels. That. Hey, interesting piece about a city in Georgia. And it's really about this guy, Jeff Gray, who is a veteran. And he goes to different cities and he sits out with a sign that says, God bless the veterans. And he waits to see if police are going to stop him. And in this latest case, the city, Alpharetta in Georgia, has agreed to pay this guy $55,000 to settle a lawsuit. More than 2 years after police arrested this guy for allegedly panhandling. His name is Jeff Gray. He's an Army veteran, self-described First Amendment auditor. Frequently travels around the Southeast, stands on public property, and holds a sign saying, God bless the homeless vets. He does this to test officials' reactions and frequently captures video of police who accuse him of illegal protesting or panhandling. Yeah, it's a setup. I don't know whether to say this guy is like a hero or a zero. I mean, he's benefiting from it monetarily, but he is taking his time, I guess, to protect the First Amendment. I mean, really, honestly, as I perused the article, it was difficult to really see clearly whether this guy is a good guy or not. But here's the problem. Whether he's a good guy or not, sometimes police, law enforcement, don't always understand some of the laws. And there needs to be training that takes place. And the reason it resonates with somebody like me is because of various gun laws that not all law enforcement are fully aware of. And so that's where I become concerned. And so we have to know the law. We have to know what our rights are. But law enforcement needs to know those things as well. So apparently police handcuffed and detained Jeff Gray in Alpharetta, Georgia, after people complained he was panhandling outside City Hall. He said he wasn't asking for money. He was simply holding that sign. And by the way, panhandling is protected, at least under the First Amendment, with some exceptions. In January of 2022, Gray's camera was rolling while he held his sign outside Alpharetta City Hall and called out, God bless the homeless vets, to people who passed by. Soon a police lieutenant approached him and said two people had reported Gray for panhandling. Said, I'm not panhandling. And he can be heard saying that. Well, they handcuffed him. And they took his camera and turned it off. And he asked them not to turn it off. And they said, oh, no, we're saving the battery for you. Wow. But he also had audio that was recorded anyway on his Apple Watch. Another officer joined in the detention and interrogated and berated Gray before eventually releasing him. without charges, according to the lawsuit. But when he tried to resume his sign holding, police again asked him to leave, and he complied. With the help of a nonprofit foundation for individual rights and expression, Gray sued the city of Alpharetta. In 2023, the city settled last month, agreeing to change its policies and pay $55,000. Most of that will go to Gray. Some will go to his lawyers. Alpharetta officers tried to run Gray out of town because they thought holding a sign was disorderly conduct. That, according to that Foundation for Individual Rights, FIRE, attorney Adam Steinbaugh said in a statement, they'll think twice next time. The city must also provide 2 hours of First Amendment training to each officer per year. The training will mostly focus on freedom of speech and its relationship with assembly rights, the right to record police activity, the use of profanity toward officers, and refusals to answer officers' questions. Alpharetta officials and FIRE's attorney did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Again, you get where I'm coming from on this? Is this guy, is he really looking out to protect our rights? And if so, that's a good thing. Or is he a little bit more of an opportunist, rabble-rouser, who's also lining his pockets at the same time? Well, based on what we know, it's a tough call to make from here in the cheap seats. It's 8:44 on the Bob Rose Show. Say a little prayer for Greg. He's under the weather. Doug's filling in for him. We still have plenty more to go and plenty more to talk about, including who's cooking Thanksgiving dinner. That's coming up on News Talk 97.3, The Sky. I was just texting with Greg Cassidy, and Greg said he's feeling better. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow, but I don't think he's made that decision yet. But anyway, he did want to pass along one of the special things that was done, the Red Shoe event that benefits the Ronald McDonald House, a big shindig that they do every year. It's a huge fundraiser. And everybody always has a good time. From my understanding, Greg's usually there. He wasn't because, well, he was sick. But he did find out that the show raised $1,000. And what I mean by that is Greg had a great idea to allow somebody to come and be on the show for an hour. And they would auction that hour off. And the money would go to the charity. So apparently it brought in $1,000. That's pretty strong. So thank you. And we appreciate that, and we're glad that we could help the Ronald McDonald House any way we can, because we are the official radio sponsor of the Ronald McDonald House. It's all good. So, and thanks for Greg passing that along to me. Look, if he can text, you're right. He can work. Get your butt in here. Just kidding. All right. Interesting story I shared with you. The guy that he just held up a sign, God bless the homeless vets. Well, they gave him a hard time in Alpharetta, Georgia, saying, you know, you're panhandling. He claims he wasn't. It doesn't say, give me money. And, well, they ended up, the city, paying him $55,000. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skyline. Said, Mark, what are your thoughts?
Hey, good morning, Bob. Love the show. I've listened for years, first time calling in. I've watched this gentleman on YouTube multiple times, and it's unbelievable how uneducated our officials are about this. And the money that he earns, he actually donates back to the homeless veterans. He does not pocket the money. He's not profiting from this. He's actually doing good work educating the public and our officials. So my hat's off to him.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that information, for calling in, because otherwise I wouldn't know. You know, this is just a story, but you're already familiar with him. And I'll take your word for it that, yeah, this guy gives back to the veterans, and that he is doing this to, well, to make sure that our rights are established, not taken advantage of, trampled on. And yes, there is a shortage at times of law enforcement, and you can't always blame them if they're not properly trained. But yeah, so this kind of thing does happen. And this was, the guy was arrested. Now, they let him go. But, they did detain him. They did interrogate him. They kind of berated him, I guess, too. And, this is not how we want our interaction to be. And it's not good for law enforcement either. I understand that, not, you know, the job of law enforcement not to make buddies with everybody and be your pal. I get that. But also, like, you know, goodwill in the community and your attitude and how you represent does have an impact on people. It's one of the reasons why, like, resource officers are so important, because that may be the most interaction that a young person is going to have with law enforcement. And hopefully it's good interaction. So there's a sense of respect and not necessarily fear or, oh, the cops are the bad guys, don't tell them anything, that kind of mentality. All right. Well, if you want in, 877-975-9825. And we know you're busy. We try to make it easy. The Bob Rose Show podcast have every minute, every issue on demand in one place. Now on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcast, just hit subscribe and there's no charge. All right. Let me get to the, let me get one more comment here on the homeless guy. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hey, I apologize if you covered this already. I've been in and out of my truck. But that whole permit process in the beginning, I believe, this is my opinion, is that at least they have one person's name tied to the event so that they can hold people accountable when things get awry. The process has been turned upside down on its head, because once they said you had to do it, even a group of one, two, or three people, which one cop could stand there, and it's designed to keep larger crowds under control. It's not designed for one guy holding the sign, and that's how they've lost their mind. That's how they get a policy in and then turn it upside down on its head to steal our rights.
Yeah, that's not to conflate the two separate issues. Now in Chicago, yes, you have to have a permit to assemble, apparently, and they have given out permits, and they expect 100,000 that are going to be there protesting at the DNC today. That's crazy. And then they say, of course, there'll be people that don't go through the permitting process, ne'er-do-wells, hanger-ons, and the rest. That is a lot of people, and hopefully it'll remain peaceful. But you know, it only takes a few ne'er-do-wells to start the trouble, and then they hide behind the truly peaceful protesters. And, that's tough to deal with. The other issue I was talking about really wasn't tied to the convention or large groups. This was just a kind of an isolated story out of Alpharetta, Georgia, but a guy who does sort of test ground in different areas in the Southeast, Jeff Gray, who goes around and sees how he's treated by law enforcement, and if he's doing nothing illegal and they're harassing him anyway, then there's going to be a problem. But it's pretty interesting. All right, coming up in the 9 o'clock stretch, and we can start to get to it a little bit here. So who cooks the big Thanksgiving dinner? First of all, you're blessed if you have family that can get together and, you know, you're not deployed or somewhere and in a condition where you can't. You get with some of your family and friends, that's tough. But for those who can, you know, is there a choice? Every year it's kind of like, oh, yeah, we always go to mom's house or we always go to grandma's house. And, you know, that's kind of the way we do it. And everybody's happy with that. Well, there's a woman who said she's 40 years old now with a large family, and she just needs a break this year from hosting Thanksgiving at her home. And she's been doing it for many years. And she's apparently taking quite a bit of heat for this declaration after her family has grown accustomed to her generosity. So like 2,500 people, and this story's, you know, day to day, but reacted to social media on a post in just a short time. 2,500 people weighing in. And we'll dig into it a little bit, but basically she's a 40-year-old female. She has six sisters, two are older, four are younger. But when I say I need a break and I've been the only one hosting it, I'm the a-hole, she said. Yeah, I enjoyed having everyone over, but it's a lot of work, especially since we all have at least two kids each, all in the age group between 5 and 15. It's chaos, but joyful chaos. And her husband helps a little bit, but it's a big responsibility and she wants a break. And a lot of people were, well, not necessarily in her favor. Interesting. We'll talk about it next. I was just texting with Greg Cassidy, and Greg said he's feeling better. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow, but I don't think he's made that decision yet. But anyway, he did want to pass along one of the special things that was done, the Red Shoe event that benefits the Ronald McDonald House, a big shindig that they do every year. It's a huge fundraiser, and everybody always has a good time. From my understanding, Greg's usually there. He wasn't because, well, he was sick. But he did find out that the show raised $1,000. And what I mean by that is Greg had a great idea to allow somebody to come and be on the show for an hour. And they would auction that hour off and the money would go to the charity. So apparently it brought in $1,000. That's pretty strong. So thank you. And we appreciate that. And we're glad that we could help the Ronald McDonald House any way we can, because we are the official radio sponsor of the Ronald McDonald House. It's all good. So, and thanks for Greg passing that along to me. Look, if he can text, you're right. He can work. Get your butt in here. Just kidding. All right. Yeah, interesting story I shared with you. The guy that, he just held up a sign. God bless the homeless vets. Well, they gave him a hard time in Alpharetta, Georgia, saying, you know, you're panhandling. He claims he wasn't. It doesn't say, give me money. And, well, they ended up, the city, paying him $55,000. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skyline. Said, Mark, what are your thoughts?
Hey, good morning, Bob. Love the show. I've listened for years, first time calling in. I've watched this gentleman on YouTube multiple times, and it's unbelievable how uneducated our officials are about this. And the money that he earns, he actually donates back to the homeless veterans. He does not pocket the money. He's not profiting from this. He's actually doing good work educating the public and our officials. So my hat's off to him.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that information and for calling in, because otherwise I wouldn't know. You know, this is just a story, but you're already familiar with him. And I'll take your word for it that, yeah, this guy gives back to the veterans and that he is doing this to, well, to make sure that our rights are established, not taken advantage of, trampled on. And yes, there is a shortage at times of law enforcement, and you can't always blame them if they're not properly trained. But yeah, so this kind of thing does happen. And this was, the guy was arrested. Now they let him go, but they did detain him. They did interrogate him. They kind of berated him, I guess, too. And this is not, this is not how we want our interaction to be. And it's not good for law enforcement either. I understand that the job of law enforcement, not to make buddies with everybody and be your pal. I get that. But also, goodwill in the community and your attitude and how you represent does have an impact on people. It's one of the reasons why, resource officers are so important, because that may be the most interaction that a young person is going to have with law enforcement. And hopefully it's good interaction. So there's a sense of respect and not necessarily fear or, oh, the cops are the bad guys, don't tell them anything. That kind of mentality. All right. Well, if you want in, 877-975-975. 9825, and we know you're busy. We try to make it easy. The Bob Rose Show podcast have every minute, every issue on demand in one place, now on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcast. Just hit subscribe and there's no charge. All right, let me get to the let me get one more comment here on the homeless guy. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hey, I apologize if you covered this already. I've been in and out of my truck. But that whole permit process in the beginning, I believe, this is my opinion, is that at least they have one person's name tied to the event so that they can hold people accountable when things get awry. The process has been turned upside down on its head, because once they said you had to do it, even a group of one, two, or three people, which one cop could stand there, and it's designed to keep larger crowds under control. It's not designed for one guy holding the sign, and that's how they've lost their mind. That's how they get a policy in and then turn it upside down on its head to steal our rights.
Yeah, that's not to conflate the two separate issues. Now in Chicago, yes, you have to have a permit to assemble, apparently, and they have given out permits, and they expect 100,000 that are going to be there protesting at the DNC today. That's crazy. And then they say, of course, there'll be people that don't go through the permitting process, ne'er-do-wells, hanger-ons, and the rest. That is a lot of people. And hopefully it'll remain peaceful. But you know, it only takes a few ne'er-do-wells to start the trouble, and then they hide behind the truly peaceful protesters. And, that's tough to deal with. The other issue I was talking about really wasn't tied to the convention or large groups. This was just a kind of an isolated story out of Alpharetta, Georgia, but a guy who does sort of test ground in different areas in the Southeast, Jeff Gray, who goes around and sees how he's treated by law enforcement, and if he's doing nothing illegal and they're harassing him anyway, then there's going to be a problem. But it's pretty interesting. All right, coming up in the 9 o'clock stretch, and we can start to get to it a little bit here. So who cooks the big Thanksgiving dinner? First of all, you're blessed if you have family that can get together and, you know, you're not deployed or somewhere in a condition where you can't get with some of your family and friends. That's tough. But for those who can, you know, is there a choice? Every year it's kind of like, oh, yeah, we always go to mom's house or we always go to grandma's house. And, you know, that's kind of the way we do it. And everybody's happy with that. Well, there's a woman who said she's 40 years old now with a large family, and she just needs a break this year from hosting Thanksgiving at her home. And she's been doing it for many years. And she's apparently taking quite a bit of heat for this declaration after her family has grown accustomed to her generosity. So like 2,500 people, and this story's, you know, day to day, but reacted to social media on a post in just a short time. 2,500 people weighing in. And we'll dig into it a little bit, but basically, she's a 40-year-old female. She has six sisters. Two are older, four are younger. But when I say I need a break, and I've been the only one hosting it, I'm the a-hole, she said. Yeah, I enjoyed having everyone over, but it's a lot of work, especially since we all have at least two kids each, all in the age group between 5 and 15. It's chaos, but joyful chaos. And her husband helps a little bit, but it's a big responsibility, and she wants a break. And a lot of people were, well, not necessarily in her favor. Interesting. We'll talk about it next.